Welcome to Oscar Mike Radio. My name is Travis, Marine Corps veteran and your host. I want to thank my sponsors. I want to thank my supporters. We have a special Military Creator Con 2026 show featuring one of the big stars of Military Creator Con 2026, Robin Johnson, Lieutenant Colonel, comedian, and closing us out and bringing the energy up after a long day to Military Creator Con. Robin, welcome to the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Travis. You did great.
Well, folks, you don't know. This has not been one of my better outings. I've needed Semper Gumby for sure, and I'm sure she could make like a comedy reel out of this one because I really stepped in it this time. But it's all good because you're a trooper, man, and you're coming to Military Creator Con to kind of like bring us up after a long day. And before we get into all that good stuff, kind of tell us, what did you do in the Army, and then how'd you get into comedy?
Oh, yes. I joined the Army when I was 17. So I was enlisted first. I don't really like taking orders, as it turns out. And I thought that if you became an officer, you would no longer have to do that. What joke was on me. So was a little bit of a Mustang. Sometime enlisted in the National Guard and then active duty as an officer. Served, full career over 20 years in total. And then decided, you know what? I have this great idea. I'm going to become a stand-up comedian instead. And so I transitioned and retired out of the military in 2020, and I just went for it. I was like, why not? Like, what are they going to do? Like, give me UCMJ for not being funny. Am I going to get booed off the stage? No.
Well, you gotta think, man, that you have a lot of material to work with after that period of time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh. But I don't think like anybody ever would say if they, well, I don't know that a lot of people that knew me in the military would have defined me as funny. I really did not show that part of myself. That was something I kept pretty private and to my closest of friends. And you'd have to really know me to see that side of me, because I always wanted to be, I guess I thought if you were funny, you couldn't be respected, that people wouldn't take you seriously.
But to coin a phrase, laughter truly is the best medicine.
I know, but I mean, think about it. I'm 5'3". I'm a female, right? I'm already having to work hard to earn the respect and the command presence that comes so naturally to my male counterparts. And so to also be silly and make a lot of jokes, it just doesn't, that in my mind at the time didn't seem like it fit. Now that I'm more secure in who I am and I've been out of the military a while and I've been in corporate America, I actually know that this is a superpower, and this actually makes me a far better leader than have if I didn't have a sense of humor. But in the late 90s, early 2000s, I didn't see it that way.
Okay, fair enough. But just
Yeah.
in the corporate sense, I can tell you that when management delivers the medicine with a bit of laughter and humor, it's a lot easier to swallow than when it's just delivered with, cod liver oil or something of that nature. So I get it, I get it. But you do this and you have to transition to a different mindset. What was that mindset going from being a lieutenant colonel, and getting and needing that respect to now being able to be what it sounds like Robin's authentic self?
Well, I'm a Gemini, so I think I've always had this dichotomy of like two people, and I've also been a bit of a, had a bit of an alter ego, right? Like I've had like Lieutenant Colonel Johnson and then Robin. And again, my closest friends knew who I was underneath the facade and layers of rank and uniform and blah, 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 blah. But I think actually the military prepared me for comedy really well. One, it takes a hell of a lot of guts to get on stage and put yourself out there like that. So being yet to have courage and presence, whether you're briefing QTB or some sort of general officer or your brigade commander on a plan, the ability to be articulate and communicate a thought in and of itself is one thing. And then two, just the access I had to being around people and being human and interacting with so many different types of diverse personalities and backgrounds gave me a lot of foundation for my material, because I would be able to build jokes and stories about characters that actually I served with. It also gave me a lens of dark humor and an appreciation for like when you really need it, and when it's when sometimes it might be right on that line of, oh, like it's a little edgy, but it's not too terrible. And then on, so I do think, and also the discipline and work ethic. I don't know that there are very many professions as more challenging as comedy because you don't get paid a lot of money. It's extremely high risk in the sense of what you're going to get back. And, you're just grinding hard. Like you're just working all the time to write new material, to put yourself out there. So I definitely think that was, I needed the military to get to this part of my life. I also needed the army retirement pay because I don't think I could have made it as a comedian had I not had my retirement and VA disability to fall back on. There's no way. I mean, that's why when you go to comedy shows, so many starting comedians are like bartenders, servers, Uber drivers. I mean, tell me how many times you've been in an Uber and they're like, yeah, well, I'm a stand-up comedian, but I'm also an Uber driver.
It's happened. It's happened. And
Yeah.
you get the impression they're all like Dave Chappelle or Bill Burr,
No.
where they just walk on the stage and they're funny and it's no effort at all.
No, you gotta, it takes years. And I was actually lucky enough to kind of, I felt like I had, I mean, I'm still growing. I'm not famous. No one's heard of me. I think I have like 6,000 Instagram followers or something. But I made a decision pretty early on that I did not have an ambition to be a famous comedian, to have a Netflix special or anything like that. My mission was I wanted to help people, period. And so if I did that, and I felt, well, let me back up. I felt like I could do that more by having a platform that was more about education, a blend of comedy and entertainment and education all in one versus just being a pure stand-up. And that's a rare thing. Most comedians just want to be famous and they want to have their name in lights.
Is that where the Best Medicine Brigade comes in?
Well, Best Medicine Brigade came in because when I went through Armed Services Arts Partnership for a comedy boot camp to learn how to be a stand-up, I realized there were a lot of military-affiliated comedians, both dependents and veterans. And there wasn't like a like ASAP was a great start, but like there wasn't this next community. There wasn't an entity that was trying to get them work, like paid gigs. So I really created B&B to create a sense of community around military-connected comedians and then also to find like employment opportunities for them in the industry. I do that still. I mean, very loosely. I'm not doing as much as far as like the employment aspect of it. I'm still touring with Armed Forces Entertainment, and I do have comedians that are military affiliated that go with me on those tours. I've got the Hero Comedy Tour launching next month. So that's all part of Best Medicine Brigade. But Healarious, which is the nonprofit, is really my main focus, which that's a program that is taking the way that we write jokes and the way we as comedians think and helping people who aren't comedians use that same structure and format to change their thinking, to disrupt negative thought patterns, and to thereby like shift their perspective to one that's healthier and not destructive. And so
It's,
we'll, yeah.
it sounds like there's some elements of was it neuro-linguistic programming in there?
Yeah, I refer to it as neuroplasticity.
Yeah.
That's I guess the academic portion of it. I was so passionate about this. I didn't want to just be like, I was a stand-up comedian. So I took a 3-year program
Oh,
to
wow.
become a certified humor professional. It's a 3-year program through the Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor. Graduated in 2024 and then applied to be a veteran fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, where I was studying it further, really looking at the intersection of medicine and humanities and how it can truly be a force of healing. It does a couple of things. One, it helps patients, it helps truly helps people who are ill in a variety of ways. There's tons of research on this. And then there's also the ability of the use of it for medical professionals to build better empathy with their patients. And so besides just helping the people that are sick and needing the help, it's also like helping the providers to deliver better care because they use humor to establish that connection.
Yeah, well, you kind of already answered. I was going to ask, like, how does humor actually help the healing process? And it seems like, you've already answered that. In a way, I'm curious, is there things that make a person a better comedian or a comedian more than someone else?
Oh, I absolutely. I will say on the help how it helps people, there's a biological, scientific proven, you know, when you laugh, when you're experiencing the response to something humorous, you're releasing, you know, dopamine, oxytocin. I mean, it's a really good feeling, but there's very much a hormone biological thing happening inside you. And then the other part is just being able to shift your perspective, to be able to see the world differently through a joke is brilliant. That's why it's the punchline, because the punchline is the surprise. You don't see it coming in that aha moment. You're like, oh yeah. And if you can see that different, you can see your situation differently. Things you ask, things that are make you a better comedian, I'd say one, empathy and humility. If you can make fun of yourself, if you can be humble enough to just make fun of yourself, that's a good start. I think most comedians' self-deprecation is really funny because they're not hurting anyone else. They're making themselves vulnerable and they're admitting their flaws and they're finding the humor in them. And then the other is just empathy. Being able to understand and put yourself in the shoes of somebody else can be really funny. But you can also like use it to make fun of people, but in a more gentle, respectful way. So yeah, I would say those are my two most favorite things, especially in this industry. I've worked with a lot of comedians. Most of them are really good people. Like I would hang with them, have a beverage. Like we were cool. But there's some who I don't even want to be in the same room as, like anywhere else, like any other
Sure,
country, right?
sure, sure. You're doing all this, and then you get asked to come to Military Creator Con 2026, which is why we're talking. What was it about the convention, the creator aspect that drew you to wanting to say yes and come entertain us and bring our energy up?
You know, this is the first one. It's the inaugural one. I love the founders and the organizers. Just personally, they're amazing human beings, and I was really excited that they asked because I love their vision and I know they're always going to deliver great things. But really, I've been to a lot of conferences, and this one just stood out as being different in that it was going to really establish community and have subject matter experts in there that are all about creating positive content. You know, I just think that like there's a lot out there. There's a lot of noise, but this is more about like cutting through the noise and doing something really powerful, and doing it with the support of other military connected in your broader community. So that's it. Plus, of course, it's in Dallas, well, Arlington, Texas, and I was like, I love that area. I couldn't think of a better place. It's like midway through the US to bring everyone together. So I'm excited to come. I just want to sing from the top of my lungs that Beyonce song, "This Ain't Texas."
Are
Anyway,
you from Texas?
no, but I just like that area. I would move there. I actually would move to the Arlington, Dallas area for sure.
Well, I've been through there a lot, and I can't believe how much has changed. You know, surprise, surprise. But I tell people where I'm from. I'm in the Boston area. I'm like, oh, Boston's so big. I'm like, no, Boston's not that big. Not until you get on the 635, and it's five
Right.
lanes each way. That's big.
Yeah, it's
Fort Worth is
massive.
big.
Yeah. Good
So.
memory there.
You're going to come and entertain us. And it is about creators. I'm presenting there about my subject, and which is community access TV and how you can use that. And there's real value people coming. Like, it's not just, hey, I do a show, I do this, right? Here's what I do, and here's how it can help you out. And I really like that aspect of the whole ecosystem. People don't necessarily pursue comedy. Some people, I understand, just find it by accident. They're the funny kid in the class. They're the person that can make anybody laugh at any time. One of the things that's interested me is I understand that it takes real energy to shut off the outside world, get on stage when you take the mic, and be funny for that 45-minute period of time. Is that true? Is there a switch you got to turn on, Robin, to be funny? Or is it just something you're naturally good at all the time?
Oh no, I'm a very serious person. Some people will talk to me. I've had people talk to me for an hour and go, "You're a comedian. I would have never thought you're so serious." There's definitely a switch. I also have a social battery because being a comedian requires you to be extremely present and connected to that audience, like just really immersed into it. You can't get your mind distracted for 1 second. You got to be there and quick and responsive. That is a it is very, very, it's like watching an infant or a toddler run around. You cannot take your eyes off of them for 1 second. So yeah, it does take a lot. It's exhausting sometimes. Like I've done a couple weekends where I've done two shows a night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so
Oof.
six shows. And by the last show on Sunday, I just want to like fall over.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Well,
Yep.
how can people connect with you before Military Creator Con? And are you going to do anything different or special or, just for Military Creator Con when you get up there in front of us, or we have to wait and see?
Well, I'm speaking on Saturday morning, so I'm doing a short keynote Saturday morning, and then I'm doing performing comedy at the closeout event at the Speakeasy event. And they actually I just published tickets. If you're not coming to the conference, which I hope you are coming to the conference, but if you're not able to come to the whole conference, but you want to come to the comedy show, there are tickets for $75. That includes your food, some cocktails, and then after party, and of course, the show. So that's available, just limited tickets on that, but they are on my LinkedIn, Robin Phoenix Johnson. But yeah, it's going to be special. I always tailor my content to the audience. So what I'll end up doing, I'll do my traditional 25-minute keynote where I'm going to talk about some of the techniques and tools that I use as a performer in comedy and how you can use that as well in your own content creation. That's just 25 minutes. But that night for the comedy show where I'm going to do a full show. It's good. I'm going to be watching everybody. So I'll get there for, I'll spend Friday and all day Saturday with people. I'm going to make observations, listen, and then I'll do what we call in the business callbacks to some of the things that'll be funny to the inside group that attended the full conference, but then plenty of material that if you're just coming to the show, it'll be for everybody.
Nice, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Well, you are certainly Oscar Mike. You're certainly on the move all the time, as I understand. And I
Yeah.
appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with me. I can't wait to meet you in person. I can't wait
Same.
to have some laughs. You certainly, have freedom to have some laughs at my expense because I was all over the place today. Not really. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, we made it work. Thank you for being super Gumby, and I'll see you soon.
Course. All right, see you soon.
Folks, there she is, Robin Johnson, with the Best Medicine Brigade, making us heal with humor. We'll see her at Military Creator Con. Robin, thank you very much. And as we say, we are mission in flight.
Every generation, every sacrifice, our nation's service members have stood up for our freedom, our families, and our future. Now it's our turn to stand up for them. This year, you can honor their service in a deeply personal way by sponsoring a $17 Veterans Wreath. Each wreath is more than a symbol. It's a heartfelt tribute to the heroes who served and to the families who carry their legacy. Visit wreathsacrossamerica.org to sponsor a wreath today. This isn't just a wreath. It's a personal gift to an American hero.
Thank you for listening and watching Oscar Mike Radio, where our active duty service members and veterans are in action, and the mission is in flight. Oscar Mike Radio is an Oversized Load Coast Sinister One production. If you are a veteran or know a veteran who needs help, please dial 988 and press 1 for the Veterans Crisis Line.